At this juncture, perhaps we need to talk a bit more about emptiness. Why does Buddhism say that all phenomena are empty when they clearly are there? To avoid any misunderstanding, we must acknowledge that the assertion is based on the premise that all phenomena arise out of interdependent conditions. That is to say that the existence of all phenomena is conditional. Along this line of thinking, it is not difficult to realize the fact that no matter what they are, all things are there as they are because of the synergy of a set of conditions necessary for each of them to arise. However, just as relevant conditions for the existence of all phenomena would assemble, they would also disperse. Therefore, all phenomena can be said to be unstable and impermanent, and as such, their nature is empty. It is not that the matter itself is non-existent, but that its nature is not solid or lasting. The same applies to form. That is why, when we learn to cultivate Chan, we must first of all break through the dualities of emptiness and existence, nature and form, etc. This process would take a while, but once we fully understand that all things are conditioned in their existence, we would gradually be more able to perceive the principle of emptiness with reference to self-attachment, Dharma attachment, emptiness of self, emptiness of Dharma, and the doctrine of interdependent co-arising itself. Without understanding the meaning of emptiness in Buddhist teaching, it is quite impossible to grasp the ethos and essence of Buddhism. Of great significance in Buddhism is its insight into absolute reality through transcendence of the delusiveness of all phenomena. Being able to see absolute reality is to have transcended the world. Not being able to see absolute reality is to be within the mundane. Vexations arise when you cannot see absolute reality. Bodhi is when you can see absolute reality. When you are able to transcend the world while still within the worldly, then this shore is the other shore. The world on this shore and the world on the other shore are not two worlds. They are one and the same point in time and space. To sit in composure and be mindful of absolute reality is to thoroughly understand that all karmic obscurations stem from delusive thoughts. However, delusive thoughts also arise from interdependent conditions. Once the empty nature of delusive thoughts is seen and you are no longer attached to them, karmic obscurations will dissolve like ice and snow under the sun. Hence the saying, all transgressions arise from the mind. It is the mind that is to be repented. When the mind itself is relinquished, transgressions will be no more. It can only be called true repentance when emptiness is realized, having dissolved both the transgressions and the mind. Sitting in composure and being mindful of the Buddha is the first necessary condition for entering into one act for samadhi. The second condition required is of a higher level, as suggested in the larger fascicle of the Prajna Sutra, which says that not having anything to be mindful of is called being mindful of the Buddha. This is the same as saying that the mind being mindful of the Buddha has nothing to be mindful of. To be able to do this, the practitioner has to be free from any concern for attainment or otherwise when being mindful of the Buddha. In other words, the attitude adopted when being mindful of the Buddha is that one would only care to cultivate without bothering about the harvest. This is how to be mindful without having anything to be mindful of. As the mind is instantly the Buddha when it is mindful of the Buddha, there is nothing else to seek. Thus, the following quotation from a sutra, there is no Buddha apart from the mind, and there is no mind apart from the Buddha. Being mindful of the Buddha is being mindful of the mind, and to seek the mind is to seek the Buddha. If one is mindful of the Buddha in this way, one would spontaneously enter dhyana, meditative concentration. The third point to note is not to have a coveting mind when being mindful of the Buddha. What does that mean? For example, you do not raise the hope of seeing the Buddha or cherish the idea of having supernatural sensations. To do so would amount to having a coveting mind. Although you might have vision of the Buddha or feelings of supernatural sensations in the process of being mindful of the Buddha, yet they are not reliable. You never know if they are natural outcomes of the practice or brought about by unknown sources of energy that are there to affect you. They may be positive or negative, good or evil. They can be Buddha or Mara. If you cannot identify them, your body and mind could easily be infiltrated by the demonic, which is to say that your practice would have become deviant. Therefore, it is crucial not to harbor a coveting mind, but instead confine to the natural course of being mindful of the Buddha. With the mind staying focused at each moment of the practice. Once you are able to do this, you will not be interfered in any way by the negative or the evil. If you are able not to covet anything, but simply approach everything with an even and indiscriminate mind, the path of practice would be a straightforward one, without bends and curves. The fourth point is note during the one act for samadhi is to try and eliminate the notions of active and passive when being mindful of the Buddha. That is to say, the removal of that which is capable of being mindful and that which is being mindful of. It is difficult to be able to do this all at once for a start, but continuous cultivation should gradually bring all notions such as active and passive, transformable and transformed, etc., to cessation. And only then would the practitioner be at one with the Buddha. The above are points for attention given by the fourth patriarch to enable entry into one act for samadhi. Based on the sutra on visualizing the Buddha of infinite life, the instructions given by Chan Master Daishin revealed the direct connection between the mind and the Buddha. Without the need of any intermediaries between the two, we can instantly realize transcendence and be at one with the Buddha. That is, this mind is the Buddha. This mind creates the Buddha. If the principle of mind is mind's creation, is perceived, we could have mental access to the Dharma body of all Buddhas, and thus able to reach the state of no discrimination between mind, Buddha, and sentient beings. It is at this stage that the Chan practice of being mindful of the Buddha can be said to have entered the state of samadhi. This is when we know that mind is the Buddha, that there is no Buddha outside of the mind, that mind and Buddha are of one essence. There would hence be perfect realization of the state that is no different from that of the Buddha.